This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Japan makes a record defense spending request to counter what it calls the toughest challenges since World War II. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. $40 billion is how much Japan's defense ministry has requested for its next annual budget allocation. It's a record level, but just slightly higher than last year's increase. If approved, it would put Japan on a path to being one of the world's biggest military spenders, behind only the U.S. and China. The BBC's Mariko Oi explains this budget proposal illustrates a years-long desire by recent prime ministers to boost military spending to counter rising influence from China and Russia.
Today's number, how much the defense ministry is now requesting at $40 billion, that is a record high. It is a controversial, divisive issue in Japan because, of course, Japan has that pacifist constitution after losing the Second World War. So Japan can't have an active military, it has to have a defense force. A lot of experts have been saying that Japan needs to at least be prepared because otherwise it would be too vulnerable, surrounded by countries like Russia and China.
And what are some of the suggestions for how that money could be spent?
It's not guaranteed, but a wish list included armed drones, for example, as well as research on hypersonic missiles. It will probably likely get approved. If not, the final bill could actually go even higher when the Japanese government decides on its final budget. In Japan, for as long as I can remember, it's always been around 1% of the country's GDP, the amount that defense budget was. But basically, the Kishida government has been saying that he wants to increase that to about 2% of GDP within 5 years. So that would bring it up to almost $70 billion. It is an enormous amount of money, even in comparison to other countries in the world.
And if we look at Japan's economy, I mean, more defense spending or spending generally could be a good thing because just today the central bank governor warned of risks to a fragile recovery from the pandemic. And he said that that includes the rising cost of living, which hasn't hit Japan in the same way as it has the rest of the world. Inflation there was just 2.4% last month. So how is this defense spending, how is this budget generally sort of being perceived?
It's a tricky balancing act for the government because, of course, Japan's government already has that huge debt and it has the most rapidly aging population, also shrinking population. The birth rate has been declining for a very long time. You know, the government has to spend a lot more money on not just, you know, medical bills of the elderly, but also trying to encourage younger people to get married and have children. So offering subsidies and so on as well. So all that spending is weighing on its financial situation. But at the same time, as you said, inflation is starting to hit the country. And when you hear, you know, 2.4% inflation, it sounds like nothing compared to elsewhere. But this is a country where nothing got more expensive. You know, as far as I can remember, ever since I was a child, nothing became more expensive. And in a country where people got so used to what's known as deflation, falling prices, people just are not used to it. And also wages haven't caught up with it. You know, salaries haven't gone up in about 3 decades. So people just aren't earning enough money to actually afford this even small increase in prices. So there's a lot of pressure and balancing act on the central bank as well as the Japanese government.
The BBC's Mariko Oi for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thanks, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, European stock benchmarks are down in the 1% range at this hour. That's after fresh numbers today showed inflation in the 19-country eurozone surpassed expectations, notching another record high this month. Inflation jumped to 9.1% from this time last year. Energy is still by far the biggest driver, with prices up more than 38% annually. Those prices are continuing to rise. The European natural gas benchmark was up as much as 5% today. Russia has again cut off gas flows through the Nord Stream 1
Nord pipeline to Germany, Moscow says the outage will only last until Saturday and that the shutdown is needed to carry out repairs that have been made harder by sanctions. But given that natural gas flows had already been taken down to 20% of capacity through the pipeline, there are worries that this suspension could be extended as part of Kremlin efforts to drive energy prices even higher across Europe. The BBC's Jonathan Josephs explains just how worried European leaders are and how they're planning to address the risk of a long, cold winter.
The concerns politicians have are that people will die, that pensioners in particular, old people, won't be able to afford to heat their homes this coming winter. More broadly, there's an economic slowdown. The biggest driver of that, energy, by a long way. There's a lot of different things going on at the moment with politicians trying to come up with solutions. Broadly speaking, we're looking at three planks of that. Use less energy, find other sources of energy, and work together more. The French finance minister saying that this is a collective effort that's required. We must consume less energy at home, he said, as well as in transport, in shops and in businesses. A collective commitment is required. The German leader, Olaf Scholz, has been talking about joining up the European gas and electricity grids to a greater degree to allow supplies to be more readily moved around. All of this may come into clearer detail next week when energy ministers have an emergency meeting to see what they can do at a Europe-wide level.
That's the BBC's Jonathan Josephs reporting there. As European leaders ponder new energy-saving policies, some experts say a speed limit on Germany's famed Autobahn could help save precious fuel. But even floating the idea has reignited furious debate among drivers who don't want to be forced to slow down on the famous speed limitless roadway. The BBC's Jenny Hill has more from Berlin.
Here in the south of Berlin, a group of men have got together to race tiny electric cars around a mini racetrack. And they're off. What better place to come to find out how Germans feel about proposals to put a speed limit on this country's famously speed limit free motorways?
Das glaube ich in Deutschland nicht durchsetzbar.
They'll never get away with that in Germany, Martin tells me.
Genau wie es in Amerika immer Waffen geben wird.
Just like there'll always be guns in America. The Germans love fast cars, the Americans love guns.
Germany's motorways are world famous. There is, technically, nothing to stop a driver doing, as one did recently, more than 250 miles per hour. But as Germany hurtles towards winter and a potential energy crisis, calls for a speed limit on its motorways are gaining traction. For economist Professor Wolfgang Mennich, when it comes to saving energy, every little helps.
It could save some 1.5% of the consumption of fuel.
A motorway speed limit would please environmental campaigners and those who worry about safety, although significantly more people die on Germany's rural roads than the Autobahn.
For many, it's about so much more than the open road. It's about freedom.
We are always focusing on the general idea of freedom and individual responsibility.
Michael Kruse is the energy spokesman for Germany's Liberal Party, the FDP. They, unlike the rest of the coalition government, fiercely oppose any suggestion of a speed limit.
Well, where's the stop then? If you say, well, speed limit 130 kilometers per hour, then the next person comes and says, well, it's 100 kilometers per hour would be even better. Next one comes and says, well, 60 would be even better. And the next person comes and says, well, not driving a car at all would be the best.
At the track, the cars speed round and round. But public opinion has now shifted in favour of the limit. Could this be the moment the battle for Germany's motorways is finally won? In Berlin, I'm the BBC's Jenny Hill for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.